Hi, this is Roger Green, host of the Surfing the Mesh Tsunami podcast. This week, we are offering three conversations from episode 14. Our episode remembering Stephen Harrison with Naeem Alkhouri, Manal Abdelmalek, Joern Schattenberg, and Louise Campbell. Plus, from The Vault, the interview Louise and I conducted with Stephen as part of our 2022 wrap-up series. Unlike our usual introductions, this week, I will mention the specific question the panelists answered about Stephen, and then simply invite you to listen to the interview to hear our answers. For this conversation, I asked each panelist to mention a special contribution Stephen made to the field of steatotic liver disease. We lost Joern for this conversation due to an audio drop-off, but as with the first conversation, none of the rest of us stopped at just one contribution. Stephen Harrison was one of the most unique individuals I've ever had the pleasure to know and work with. These conversations touch on a small sample of what made Stephen, Stephen. So just sit back, listen, learn, absorb, celebrate his life, and when you're done, check out and perhaps contribute to the memorial page on our LinkedIn discussion group.
This conversation from Surfing the MASH Tsunami is sponsored by Madrigal Pharmaceuticals in memory of our colleague Dr. Stephen Harrison.
With that, I think I'd like to shift gear a little bit, and I'd like to ask the professional colleagues to talk a little bit about what each of you consider some of his most important specific contributions to the field. Something I'm not sure I'm qualified to talk about, but I can ask questions.
Naeem Alkhouri.
You know, I'll go first again, but I think Stephen contributed to every aspect of our field, you know, with MASLD and MASH. So when it comes to epidemiology, establishing the disease burden, he published the original paper that was, you know, prospective evaluation of the prevalence of, at the time, NAFLD and NASH based on ultrasound and repeat liver biopsy, and then pretty much repeated the same paper a decade later using state-of-the-art MR technology and biopsy. To date, these remain the two major papers that looked prospectively at the prevalence of NASH or MASH on histology. We have a lot of data on the epidemiology of MASLD, but when it comes to histologic diagnosis of MASH and liver fibrosis done prospectively, I would say these two studies done by Stephen were landmark papers. He also contributed to diagnostics, several non-invasive tests, including the FAST score that's generated from FibroScan plus AST. He also contributed to the NIS4 score and several, you know, other tests that he's been very instrumental in getting to clinical care. And then finally, you know, of course, his work in MASH drug development. I think this was his pride in life that he really took the first drug to FDA approval with resmetirom, and he was involved with several companies in phase 2A, 2B, 3. He worked even with companies that had only preclinical data, trying to help them to design the first-in-human studies, and did a lot of phase 1 work. So really, he did it all, as you said, Roger, with great energy, and also tried to get his colleagues involved.
Okay, that's excellent. Manal, go ahead.
Manal Abdelmalek.
Yeah, so I agree with Naeem. What was really amazing about Stephen is his first touch with this non-invasive assessment of fibrosis was the BARD score. And I think he was starting to think about non-invasive modeling of clinical predictors of fibrosis as a forerunner in this space. And what struck me is he never held on to anything as being a be-all, end-all. He always wanted to make things better. He moved on to the FAST score and even chuckled one day. He goes, you know, I published that BARD score years ago. Thank God we've made things better. Nobody really cites it anymore, but at least it got the field moving in the right direction. We're going to make things better. But, you know, he was visionary enough to recognize that silent liver disease is truly taken care of by specialists right now, and that in order to propel clinical trials forward, that he needed to coalesce and create a network of specialists working together, and his vision for Pinnacle kind of came to light, and to orchestrate teams of investigators with, you know, diagnostic precision and expertise in the field led him to be a leading enroller across many of our drug development pipelines that facilitated the successful completion of trials and being able to bring our first drug now, resmetirom, to the FDA successfully. So I think in that regard, he certainly was visionary. He was not a one-man show. He thought about networks and collaborations and how to move a field forward with speed and agility.
Louise, do you have anything you want to add? I probably have a couple of thoughts on those comments. But
Louise Campbell.
Well, no, I was thinking about the BARD score when Manal was bringing it up, and it isn't something we now use in clinical practice particularly, but the FAST score and all of those forward thinking. I think the podcast also gave him initiative or stimulation to think of other things. I would look at him thinking about things that people were saying and how he could write that into what he was doing or where it could take him. And I think the conversations that we had took him in different directions. I remember having a conversation with him about the nomenclature when Australia and Asia Pacific gone off and already labelled it muffled. And he wasn't sure that this was going to continue. And I think I used the phrase of sometimes if that is what it takes to get everybody around the table, sometimes you need a hammer to crack a nut. And he did laugh. And obviously the nomenclature moved on. And I think he was very much part of that. So everywhere has his stamp on it. I think at the moment, given what's happened in the last few months, and as I said last week, the fact that he was alive to see the first drug that he collaborated on reach the finishing line. As you said last week, thank God they didn't stop at WD-39.
Yeah, now we're mixing Stephen metaphors and Stephen accomplishments, but I think that's right.
Yep.
That's right. You know, Stephen metaphors. So two of the things, and these are traits of Stephen's, and then I'll talk about how they lead to accomplishments in my mind. A really relentless curiosity, right? Every time he saw something that wasn't what he thought it should be, he asked why. And he had the ability to paint pictures with words and numbers and concepts, which not everybody has. So a couple of things come to mind. The Davison paper, right? He does this work with this company and they get a result that doesn't make sense to him. He just can't make the result make sense. So he winds up going back and tearing apart all of how the biopsies got read. And in the process, produces this really fantastic paper about all the different ways that biopsy reads were so saturated with error, the way they were being done, that you couldn't figure out what was going on. We did an episode a couple of weeks ago that Jordan was on with Sven Franke, talking about the differences between what we knew about how to do trials in 2023 versus what we knew in 2020. One of the big differences was the rigor around how biopsy got read. And I think of the Davison paper as being a moment in that, and that moment being a result of his curiosity. Likewise, when the CIMBE trial got pulled, he said, this makes no sense. He wasn't the only one, but he was part of how that got sorted out. He was willing to question just about anything. And he didn't just ask questions. He then dove in to try to figure out what it was and uncovered a whole bunch of stuff on the way there. So I think in the area of, certainly in the areas of NITs. And frankly, I mean, no, you made this comment, Pinnacle was exactly that kind of thing, right? It was a different way of thinking about how do you do clinical trials if you take them out of tertiary care settings and what benefits can you get from doing that? And he wasn't the only guy who thought of that. People were thinking about that in other diseases, but he was clearly, I think, the first person who actualized that in liver disease. And as a result, things happen faster and they happen better. Again, relentless curiosity and a ton of energy.
And now back to Roger.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. If you have any questions or comments about the content of this conversation or the entire episode, please put them in the review section of the page from which you downloaded this conversation or send an email to questions@surfingmash.com. If you would wish to write a comment on Stephen's memorial page, you can find it on the Surfing Mash website, and I believe the instructions will guide you through the process. Next week, we will cover the SLD Think Tank 2024 with co-hosts Jorn Schottenberg and Jeff Lazarus, and also participants Majid Thiel and Mike Patel. Until then, stay safe, surf on, see you on the podcast. Celebrate life. Bye-bye now.
This conversation from Surfing the MASH Tsunami is sponsored by Madrigal Pharmaceuticals in memory of our colleague, Dr. Stephen Harrison.